Dr. Energy, I feel lightheaded, almost like I have helium around me.
if the voice doesn't, I would have expected a higher voice with that. But. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Joe, Dr. Energy Piazza.
Rara is in the house. Catherine Asaro Myers.
Welcome back to BU Network Podcast, Conversations Worth Having. On our podcast, you can expect three things. One, the BU guest moment. Two, the BU moment. And three, the BU final moment.
As promised, we are giving you a very special audible on each show. Your job, well, not your job, it's to find it. You know the game Where's Waldo? Well, here we will ask you to listen for that audible. Hello, Dr. Energy.
Hello, Rara.
Another beautiful day in the neighborhood, as Mr. Rogers would say.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day to say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Hello, neighbor.
Sing, hello, and you sing. What a catch to all that are right now. This man not only sings and podcasts, he cooks and he's in touch with.
A man of many talents.
Yes, you are. Superman, Dr. Energy.
I am wearing a Superman belt today.
You are? Okay. And are you wearing pants?
I was going to say, if I'm wearing a belt, I must be wearing pants. But the two could be mutually exclusive. But yes, I am wearing pants today.
Okay, that's good. So our audience knows that you are dressed from head to pants as opposed to head to toe. Let's talk about what's happening in our nation's capital today.
It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And... you know, I've got a good early start on the day, and I'm just excited to get going, to speak to Michael and talk about some marketing ideas and how we can be ourselves with our marketing and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
When I speak to Michael and when I think about Michael, I think about the lens. What I really enjoyed about this episode was how, even though we don't have cameras, how he looked. His camera was sharp, man. That was one awesome.
Yes, we've talked about that, you know, about that eventually being our goal to have that equipment set up as well.
$5,000 times.
Well, we don't have to go $5,000, but it'll be $1,000 for a camera, anyways.
So 1,000 times two.
Yeah. I guess once you add in the lens, because you probably don't want to use the stock lens, you just want to buy the camera body and then a fixed focal length lens, so you get that nice blur of the background behind you, right? So you're probably looking at $500 for the lens, $800, $900 for the camera body. So yeah, $1,400 times two. So yeah, it's getting up there.
It's a lot of buy me a coffees, Dr. Energy. Yeah. That's like buy me
maybe
a coffee.
We should set that as a goal on buy me a coffee. When we reach this amount of money, we'll upgrade, we'll buy new cameras or something like that.
They say to do that. So I just set this up, you know, for the bridge. It says to put your, you should check out what I put up there. Mm-hmm. You know what I put as my goal? When I reach $3,000, I will buy a Herman Miller chair. But guess what? The Herman Miller chair I found is $4,900. It's an executive leather chair is completely awesome. It doesn't look like a Herman Miller chair.
But you know what? You're the part of the problem with that is you're going to end up, because we're also talking about sit, stand, desks. Yep. So then you're going to need to buy also maybe a Herman Miller's bar stool.
Yes.
So you can sit up high or stand at the desk. So
right. So Buy Me Coffee says, put your goal with the dollar amount so people know. So I put $3,000 and I went to David and I said, I put the goal for $3,000, but my Herman Miller chair is $4,900. He's like, well, will you change the chair? I'm like, let me keep the goal of $3,000. There is a Herman Miller chair for $3,000. When I hit it, then I'll put the next goal. So you're right. We should do this and say when we hit 2,600, 2,700, we're going to buy the, and it says, be specific, this camera and these lenses.
And capture, and then we need capture cards and HDMI cables. And so, yeah, so, it gets up there in a hurry. It'll be $3,000. Yeah.
Yep. List it. When we hit $3,000, this is the equipment we're buying. Right. And then what people will do is they'll comment on the equipment. So that's what Michael does, you know, in my head, makes me think about the equipment and think about how awesome his audio, his visual. It was just amazing. Having Michael as a guest really upped our game in this episode. I'm really excited to get over there. And yeah, we don't have to do any introduction about ourselves because everybody knows who we are and they know where we are. And
yeah, and if you don't, go listen to some other episodes.
Yeah, go check out what city we're talking to you from. We are in the beautiful land of Canada.
Yes, the Great White North. Coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo.
Is that a loon?
That's for all you hosers out there who know Bob and Doug McKenzie. They'll know that one. All the Canadian fans. It comes from Second City Television with Bob and Doug McKenzie. It was the way they had a show called The Great White North, where they would sit and drink beer out of stubby bottles. Yes, we're going back that far. And they would just talk about, you know, take off to the Great White North. And so that was the call that started their show.
Oh, and I was going to say, is that a loon or is that my sister? My sister.
So we need those sound effects so we can just hit the button and goes and does the rim shot.
That's what I'm buying. That's my next Go GLX gift.
Go XLR.
Yes. What'd I say? GLX? I'm on a call.
Go XLR. Yeah.
Okay. Go XLR.
Of course, an XLR stands for the type of microphone that interface that it is, right? So you need an XLR microphone. So
it's a Go XLR. I guess it's
audio interface.
Audio interface. And then I still want that mic. You think I'm still going to get that mic?
If you're going to get the Go XLR, you're going to have to get the mic because you can't plug your Yeti into the Go XLR.
Going to get the Lewitt, all white.
240. Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to go all white, baby. So, Michael, this is what you're doing. You're giving us the inspiration to go spend our money. Let's go hang out with Michael because he's got a lot to say and a lot to teach us and our audience today.
All right. I'll see you on the other side. Ciao.
Be you, study.
Be more at ease in your communication so you too can have conversations worth having. What is Be You, Study? A private online room to rehearse impromptu speaking. Receive instant feedback and achieve quick results. And feel confident that no one is laughing unless you're telling a joke.
Plug in anytime, anywhere. Study with seasoned pros. Access your customized feedback. Then speak with ease and build amazing relationships. Dr. Energy, I feel lightheaded, almost like I have helium around me.
If the voice doesn't, I would have expected a higher voice with that, but
I didn't prepare.
Just talk like this,
that.
Like a munchkin from The Wizard of Oz.
That's cute. That's where knowing a dentist comes in handy. Yeah. Oh no, that's nitrous gas. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's laughing gas. Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting the voices mixed up.
Yeah, you got to go to the party store and get the tank of helium. Start blowing up some balloons.
Well, you know, in this these times, a little side hustle wouldn't hurt. Maybe balloons. But in the meantime,
it would help you float a little bit more.
Yeah, like the blimp, right across the sky. I am so excited about today for so many reasons. I am like jumping up and down just like a balloon because today we have a really special friend and a special guest on. I'd like to take a minute and read you a bio, but then I'm going to tell you some of the best kept secrets that I know about our guest, Michael.
Sure, that'd be awesome.
Michael Wood founded a company called Helium, and this company was born out of a desire to bring personality and humanity back to online digital marketing. Mm. Using experimentation and evolving marketing strategies, Michael shares personal, business, and community stories through the lens of a camera. To quote Michael, I am very proud to have built a career that allows me to stay involved with the community and impact others, priding myself on integrity, ambition, and compassion. I work to incorporate these three pillars into every facet of my life.
That's awesome.
Let me tell you a little bit about how I met Michael. You never know where you're going to meet somebody, right? I'm a Rotarian. I was a member of Rotary Etobicoke, and I saw Michael and I thought, wow, look at that. A young person, because if you know what people Rotary, say about Rotary, you know, that's just one of those myths. There was Michael, and Michael had a really big smile, and he was really cool about, you know, sitting down at Rotary. You sit and you have lunch. That's what you do. That's the old boys' school, you know, how Rotary began. And then I shouldn't really say boys' school because now it's men and women's.
Right. So
we would sit down and have lunch. And what's really nice is you sit down, we were eating in the old mill, you know, we're being served. It's such a, you know, it's such a nice way to sit down and get to know people. And I got to know Michael. We actually went for coffee. We were on Bloor West taking a walk. He was really open. We actually did a few things with the bridge in terms of our events at Sherwood Gardens, or actually Sherwood Farm. I just changed it from gardens. I changed things around. You got to watch me. And Michael was such a supportive friend. And it became very obvious to me that Michael was not just a Rotarian member. Michael was not just another pretty face, so to speak. Michael was a man who really cared. And when he talks about the lens, I can see how Michael's eyes really do have a different perspective. We not only got to know each other, I was blown away when I was invited to his wedding, his wife, Laura, and completely blown away to be included in his friendship and life as time went on. So to have Michael here today is a true testament to the type of person that Michael is and how he follows through with friendships. So I'd like to welcome Michael Wood here today with us.
Welcome, Michael.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Michael, tell us a little bit about what's life like for you these days.
It's been an interesting shift with all the craziness that's happening in the world. Business has been very busy. So actually I'm just back as of this week from doing a 7-day digital detox for however that worked out. I want to say that I was really, you know, structured and I did it perfectly and didn't touch any technology, but you really do learn how addictive technology is. And especially as a digital marketer, you can imagine how hard it is to sort of step away from it for a week.
Wow.
Funny you should say that, because as you said the word detox, I'm thinking we're 24 days on Pegan plan. We've been detoxing from sugar and carbs, and that's hard. I don't know. I think a digital detox would be harder.
it felt much the same as cutting away sugar. You have that same feeling at the end of the night where you're like, I haven't checked my email, text messages. And I gave up almost everything that was based on a screen or internet connection altogether.
Wow.
The only thing I conceded was I was still allowed to watch some TV because I didn't feel it was right to punish my wife when we've got a newborn baby that she wants to watch TV.
Yeah, you definitely want to keep your wife happy with when you've got a new baby in the house.
Exactly. But it was an interesting exercise because it's, you know, we've become so reliant on devices. And I can't tell you how many times I thought to myself, you know, I had a question, I needed to look up a conversion rate, a formula, or just like a fact. And the instinct is to, you know, go to your pocket, pull out your device and just Google it. And when all of those are taken away and you're still trying to, you know, do things during the week, I'm still present in the business, albeit, you know, disconnected from it. But I was still, you know, thinking and planning for this year and kind of working on pen and paper.
Right.
But when you can't pull that device out, when you can't look at things, and the only way you can find information that's not already in your head is by getting in your car and driving to a library, it's a whole different atmosphere you have to operate in. And it was really interesting as an exercise, as someone so digital centric, to kind of like force myself to do that for a full 7 days.
Well, I grew up in that era where we used to go to the library to get information. So when I was able to pull out a device, I thought, wow, this is great, because I remember library cards. I remember driving to the library. I remember having to resource things at school, after school, and and going
on
to
the
universities.
Weekends.
Yeah, going to universities because they had cool libraries. Like that was a thing. You know, we'd actually get to go out. At that time, it was much easier than at this moment, and go out and actually use going out as a reason to go and get information to be more resourceful.
I'll go you one better. We actually had a whole set of encyclopedias at home, A to Z. Yep.
Yeah. We had Britannica encyclopedias.
Yeah, we had. I think we had the Funk and Wagnalls, but I can't remember. I think it was.
Oh, cute. Cute. Yeah, but I think we still have, we have white and red. You know, Michael, you just brought us down a trip down memory lane. I love that. Now, let me ask you this. As you are, let's say your audience, because I'm your audience, right? We're looking at how you stay on top of things with your lens. How can you give your audience some information? Like, you know, we need you. We need you. We need you to do the things that you do. We need you more than we know. You know, we're doing things on our own, perhaps. And, you know, that's fine. But tell us the real reason about what you can do for us in business.
Well, I mean, a lot of my background is I started my career as a web developer. And that sort of, you know, it started as that step where when I was working on web development was around the same time frame that it was becoming more important, especially for medium to large businesses, to have a web presence. But then progressively it turned into everybody needs a website. And I was there for that whole shift of, it's no longer about having a business card to be official, it's about having a website. And then over the years, now that's gone out and completely turned over. And it's still great to have a website. It's still good to have these platforms. And I think they're very important. But it's also now that shift that you have to have a media presence, in the sense of you have to be putting out content. You have to be on social media. You have to be in the search engines, writing blogs. You have to get yourself out there to attract people to you. And I think that's been one of the interesting shifts of when I started building websites. Everything was so storefront focused. It was, you know, if you build it, they will come. But it's just that mindset no longer carries through today. So over the last couple of years, especially, it's really been about following where people put their attention. And from building websites with, you know, e-commerce systems and all that kind of stuff, and then realizing that nobody was actually reading any of my websites, but they would stay around for a couple minute video when we put a video on it, or would carry through to our social media, and seeing the change of some of these businesses that are able to operate at such a high level, doing almost all their business generated through things like social media, has been an absolutely amazing process to watch. So, you know, me as a digital marketer, I work with small businesses and really just help people follow that train of where attention is for their audience, and get in front of them with meaningful content that's not just noise, because there's too much noise in the world, especially online.
Right. Is there a formula? Let's say there's a you know, relatively new business, or a business that's about 0 to 5 years. Is there a formula that you want to share that, you know, that business should follow when it comes to digital marketing?
I think the thing I always come back to is there's an enormous amount of information. And because we're all media channels now, we all put out enormous amounts of information. So there's lots of digital marketing companies that'll tell you, you need to do Twitter, you need to do Instagram, you need to do whatever it is. I think the only thing that's really important is to really empathize with your customers and really to sort of look hard at them and see what their personalities are, where they like to spend time, and try and make sure that you're in the channels that they're spending their time. And if you can do that, it doesn't matter if you're on social media, or it doesn't matter if you're creating blog content, or it doesn't really matter what the tactic you're using is. It matters that you're getting in front of the right people. And I think that's the most essential thing that a lot of people overlook, is they look for what is the most popular thing to do?
I love that. The right people, you know, you talk about basically building relationships, right? Everybody's worried about, I don't want to say speak on everybody's behalf, but, you know, let me show everybody what I'm doing and 20% of this and 80% of that. And let me tell you what my newest thing is. And there's such a kerfuffle about, you know, what should people do? And there are so many chefs, so you can follow many chefs, but you're here right now telling us, you know, what we, I would like you to tell us what we can do. And then of course, loop it back to you so that you as the expert can produce that for us. But some of the businesses, like we're in business 7 years. So as a business that's here for 7 years and we have a podcast and a YouTube channel, we know the effort it takes. Like, I don't have to tell you, we talked about this. You know, what does it take for us to do all of this, right? I'm so happy that you did that detox, because we are 24/7 really building this content and scheduling it and pushing it out. But there are people that don't have that mindset, and they need, you know, they need someone to tell them what to do next. So you're saying hang out where your avatar persona is, right? That's like tip number one, find your persona.
Absolutely. Figure out who your ideal customer is. And we have these avatars, these personalities. I always find it's fun to put a name to it. You know, I was always a big fan of putting a name and a photo from a person. And, you know, your avatar may be Cindy, who's, you know, a small business owner or a business coach or whoever that might be. And you need to be ruthless about knowing who that customer is and would what you're doing matter to them at all. So even when you're sending them an email or writing a, you know, a newsletter or doing social media content, or a podcast is a great channel, but you have to be pretty ruthless about saying, like, would Cindy care? Would she actually listen or open or view this thing that I'm going to send? And if you're really critical about that, it helps you be strategic. So, the content production side, because it's so overwhelming, especially when you have a big audience, to keep up with all of the different channels and the different facets and the different directions you can go. But if you can hone in on the right elements, whether that be, you know, for a lot of businesses now, what I've seen is the focus has shifted onto creating Instagram content, particularly Instagram live content has been really great for a lot of people. Other businesses, we found that LinkedIn is the only thing that really matters to them. If they go on Instagram, they may get some followers, but these frankly don't result in any actual benefit to their business in a really tangible way. And we always look at revenue, but, you know, we also want to look at the customer experience to see, are their customers really engaging with them? But I, you know, the advice I think would really be when you're looking at this, that the first step should be building that audience persona, that audience avatar, and really trying to identify the human behind it. Not necessarily is it a business that's 5 to 50 people with $2 million in revenue, but who is the actual person that you're working with within the business? And what are their hobbies? What are their interests? Do they love interior design? Do they hang out at associations? Do they, you know, where do they spend their time? And that direction will lead you to the right path to get in front of them, to produce content that's meaningful to them, that actually attracts them to want to work with you, rather than feeling you're interrupting their activities.
Right. Well, we're going to have to introduce you to Tina one of these days.
So it's funny that you would say that, Michael, because we have done exactly that. And we actually have a course that we're pushing out. You didn't know that. So I just take this 10-second opportunity to say, we have a course that we're pushing out exactly on that, learning who your avatar is. So our avatar for one of our courses, one of our services, is Tina. And we've done all of that, and we have great visuals on it. And I love that you said that, because a business, let's say 1 to 5 years or 1 to 7 years or 2 to 10 years, even though, like you say, we've been successful, trends change. So now someone may decide to go into Instagram and realize that, you know, posting a picture may not be the thing for them. It might be a video. So I love that you can share that there are different ways that we can capture the audience. So as far as Helium goes, tell me a little bit, please, what it is that you are so excellent at that we need to have today.
I appreciate the plug on that. So I've been really part of the digital detox. I've been thinking a lot about it, but you know, prior to this, we started at the end of last year, really working on a process. We're calling a propeller strategy. And the propeller strategy is really focused around trying to help businesses in ways that are more than just, you know, you're going to do a website, or you're going to do social media, or you're going to do search engine advertising. And these are all like tactics. They're different ways to attract people. But I'm finding that the biggest need that a lot of businesses have is, just as you said, is they don't really know what the best avenue is. So when they're trying to hire companies and they're trying to solve these pains, they're trying to use these different tactics that people are recommending that may or may not work. So we've put together this propeller strategy where we're really trying to help them drive awareness, elevate their sales, and accelerate the growth of the business. And within each one of these sort of three pillars of the business strategy, we're helping them figure out what is the best techniques and the tactics that we can use to attract their customers. But how do we change the customer experience throughout the entire journey? So when they start and, you know, they're doing that traditional marketing at the top of the funnel, just trying to find strangers to pay attention to their message, to get interested, to sort of spark some attention, all the way through the sales process. But then what happens after they've become a great customer and they're super happy? How can we also use marketing to enhance the referrals and the connections and the results they're getting from their existing customers to just become champions, to bring them more business? And that full propeller, that full cycle that comes around, really what we're trying to do is reduce the need to spend a lot of money in advertising. I would be so happy if we could build businesses that don't have to spend a single dollar on Google Ads or Facebook Ads or direct mail flyers or any of that stuff, that just build a brand that is so good at their customer experience and using marketing techniques to really enhance the way that they build their referrals, so that it's no longer random. It's no longer, hey, I got a referral, but I may not for a couple of weeks, or I may not for be able to rely on this to keep the business going, to keep that funnel or that pipeline full. But how do we use those techniques to really supercharge the business, to really elevate their marketing, and to make them less dependent on spending money on ad dollars?
Tell me a little bit about how that would work for, let's talk about your ideal customer, leaving names out, unless you want to drop it. That's fine. You can drop the name. Your ideal customer and how that would work for them.
It's a real look at their business. So we try and do a deep dive in terms of what they currently have for their marketing at the top of funnel, like at the beginning of the process, of what are they doing to attract their customers to them, or how are they getting new people into the cycle. Usually that's sort of like the bread and butter for most marketing agencies. That's the easy stuff for a lot of us, because we've just done it so often. But we try and take that a step further in setting up reporting and setting up kind of like key metrics that we're keeping track of, that's more than just the sales process. But what is the customer experience? So when we're doing and fulfilling the service or selling the products, capturing really good feedback on how that experience was, not just on the product to say, was the product review, was it a good product, but how is the overall service? How did you find the checkout process? Or how did you find that conversation with a salesperson and the proposal and the meetings that followed? You know, what was that experience like for you? And trying to really extract how we can really make that experience elevated, to really make an exceptional service. And from there, what we're trying to do is use some of those same marketing technologies, whether it be marketing automation platforms, whether it be CRMs and kind of like deep reporting in terms of customer activity, and that feedback that we're getting throughout the process, to really help people build a stronger referral network, to help encourage people to leave reviews across multiple sources, but also different ways we can try and have them better integrated into other services. So through different tactics around cross-selling or upselling, or sometimes downselling, where we want to get them involved with a business at sort of a deeper level rather than just buying that single product, because that is the thing that is the most expensive for a lot of businesses, is generating a customer. So that cost, that customer cost of acquisition is so expensive for so many businesses. And whether it be your advertising dollars that you're spending, that is a clear way to report that it may cost you, say $100 to get a customer, or are you going out to a ton of networking events or joining a bunch of webinars and trying to connect with people online? How much energy went into actually getting you a new customer? And so when we've got that customer, how do we make the most of that experience? So not only are they an exceptional customer that wants to work with you and have multiple services, multiple products, and sort of buy everything you have, but also how do we help them, sort of empower them to bring you new people and to kind of amplify that message?
Well, you sound like the digital doctor or the digital psychologist for your clients.
It really sounds like you are really living in your business what Catherine talked about from your introduction, about bringing the humanity back into the digital. You're like really building the human relationship and the human aspect of things and how that integrates with everything that you're doing.
It's something I've always been really passionate about, because it, you know, everybody has their own motivations for doing things. When we're small business owners, we wanted to build the lifestyle and the business where we can work with people we love and do the things we love to do and balance that. But sometimes the motivation is just they need to make a decision. They need to hire someone. They need to buy a product or service. But really what they're trying to do is look good for their boss and get a raise. And that's the motivation. So understanding, you know, what people are really doing and sort of who your buyer is, that it's not, you're not selling to a big conglomerate most of the time. You're selling to someone that's trying to look good to their boss, or at least not look bad to their boss right. When they make a bad decision or an unsafe decision. Changes the mindset a lot.
Yeah.
Michael, when you were talking about Champion, I had this Rocky song playing in my head. You know what that song is? Dun, 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 dun. When you were talking about that, I thought, that's Rocky. When you said you want to find someone to be a champion. And I just thought, like, I could picture him running up the steps and Helium being the company that gets you to the top and brings your arms up over your head and being the one that says, yes, I've done it. I'm going to do it. I did do it. I'll do it again. It feels like you're right there cheering your clients on. I'd like to pivot for a moment and ask for you, as the owner, as the collaborator, as the birth father of Helium, who would you like to attract in your business? If I could, I would attract this client. Who are they? If they're listening, they're going to fly right over to you.
Oh, I think, you know, the best customers I can work with are, you know, generally business owners, you know, usually a little bit more mature in their business. They maybe have been in business for a couple of years. And they've got, you know, they've got the hang of it. They've gotten through all of those initial growing pains, but now they're looking for someone to really come in and help them really amplify what they're doing and sort of fix a lot of those, you know, as you say, as a digital doctor, fix a lot of those, you know, headaches that we get as businesses when we're thinking about our marketing, because it is such a large task. It is an entire department in most businesses, separate from sales, that if I can help those people get more business, to grow and really make differences in their lives, that's really powerful to me. Is I've worked with small businesses that are just brand new startups, and we've worked with businesses that are multinational and financial institutions and pharmaceutical, but it's so exciting to me when we can make changes that help a business get their financial freedom or become finally so profitable they can hire some employees, rather than when we're working with large businesses and we make such marginal differences with the campaigns that may result in hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars of difference. But I love that connection with small businesses where you can see the light in their eyes as they're like, I can finally hire an assistant. I can finally hire that extra person I needed, or I can finally go on vacations and not stress out.
You're such a good father. You're such a good nurturer. I really love that about you. Now let's talk about this customer, this client, this persona who's listening to this podcast today, and they want to know, all right, how much of my revenue or my allocated funds should I budget to have this happen in my life, because they might be spending money on Facebook ads or some other ads, but in general, what is their budget? What should their budget be in order to hire your company so that they don't waste money doing all those other things? And they might have to stop what they're doing elsewhere.
Yeah, it's always the hardest question I find for a lot of people, where it's how much do I spend? Because it changes depending on where you are in the business cycle. When you're first starting out, money is always tight. So with more mature businesses, the rule of thumb was most businesses budget between about 15 and 30% of their gross revenue into marketing dollars. And that's what you normally see from companies that are hundreds of employees or even tens of employees to be able to sustain it, because it's a department of your business. But when you're a smaller business, I find it's really difficult because, you know, if you only spend 15% of $100,000, so you're spending $1,500 a year, you know, $1,500 a year, unfortunately, in the climate doesn't get you too far. So what you end up having to do is doing a lot of this work yourself. Where usually we aim is generally starting, I'd say for most businesses, anywhere from about $1,000 and kind of like goes up to a couple $1,000s is usually the sweet spot for where marketing starts to really become powerful to make really big differences in your business. But it all depends on kind of how deep down the rabbit hole you go with the business, as well as what they're doing right now. And sort of like, if they've been around for a long time, I find it's often easier to make really big differences quickly versus when you're a brand new startup and you have to just announce to the world you exist and nobody knows you. It's always a little bit longer. It's a little bit harder just to build those initial connections because you don't have that, you know, that audience base that you can work on, and you've got to grow it from scratch.
Right. So these businesses do need to put money aside. They need to budget for that and bite the bullet, so to speak, and know that it's important. Don't let the little money that drips out count as nothing. It all counts, and they're better off investing it in the right place, the right people, and investing our money in the right place.
And I think that's why you need to define your persona, your avatar, right? Is to know that you're putting it in the right place with the right people.
Right. And you know what they say, money talks. Now that brings me to, and I mean that in a nice way, like money talks, right? Money has a voice. So if you put your right money in the right place, then you'll speak to the right clients and you'll attract the person that's going to come into your business that will be a raving fan and a repeat customer and a referral customer. So that's really what we're looking for, the way I understand it. And I'd like to go into our BU moment to see what came up for all of us today. Maybe that understanding is just what I'm understanding at the moment. In 5 minutes, I may have another idea. Michael, what came up for you today? Our BU final moment is that. It's like right on the spot. Share with us, please.
I think it's interesting to think about how the psychology of it really, I like the idea of being a digital doctor. I think I might run with that.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I think I'm going to owe you royalties at the end of this.
I'll give you my address, my email address, my Swift account number, anything you want.
Catherine's good at nicknaming people.
Oh, yes. It's, you know, I think back to, you know, as Rora mentioned in the intro, where we met and we had coffee. I think the most important thing that I've always valued and I love to keep fostering is always, it's about the personal relationships. It's about the people that are involved. And that's the most essential thing in any business, whether you're selling just simple products over the counter or you're doing large B2B deals. It's all about the relationships you have with your customer and how you keep those alive and positive.
Wow. Awesome. That's awesome.
Thank you. Dr. Energy.
Mm-hmm.
The audience doesn't know that I'm looking at your picture wearing these psychedelic glasses and you crack
well, they do
up.
Now.
You crack me up. We've got to post this picture. Please share with us your BU photo.
For me, I don't have that much more to add to what Michael just said about building the relationships, connecting with the people, the humanity, and letting that permeate all of what you do in, you know, life, through all aspects, whether it's personal life or business life or relationships, allowing that humanity to connect with others. It's one of the most important things in the world. I often like to think from one of my, what one of my mentors said to me is, how can I be the best for the world rather than trying to be the best in the world, and bringing that to the relationships.
I like that.
Thank you. Rara, what's your BU final moment?
Well, thank you. You know, Michael, first of all, that was a fantastic compliment, because branding comes up at the oddest times. Mm. To me, you are a digital doctor. And I'm looking at your picture with your suit. Our audience doesn't know what I'm looking at right now because our cameras are off. And you look like a doctor to me. You look like, I want to tell you everything that's going on in my digital world so that you could diagnose, direct me, give me a solution, reframe it, and tell me how to have a strategic alliance. Now, I just gave away a little secret of the bridge there. I slipped that in. But my BU final moment is, you are a man of authority. And I truly want to tell you what's going on. And you instill that in people, that trust and that confidence. So to our audience today, I invite them to think of you as the man who owns helium balloon, wearing a white jacket and holding a helium balloon with all the solutions as the digital doctor.
Well, what was that song? Up, up and away in my beautiful balloon.
Oh, Michael, you really did it today. You really did it. I'm so excited that you're here with us. Thank you so, so much for being a guest, our guest and our friend on BU Network podcast, and hang out with us so we can talk offline a little bit.
Oh, thank you for having me. I absolutely love it. And I think right now my designer is probably going to be designing that exact graphic.
Love it. I'm available later if you want to chat about it.
Yes, we can consult with you on that. All right. Thanks again, Michael, for being here, and we'll see you on the other side.
Thank you for joining us. Sharing is caring. Tell your friends about Conversations Worth Having on BU Network. We really appreciate your reviews, and you can do that on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.
For show notes and links, go to www.bu.network/podcasts. Connect with us via our website, www.bu.network. And build a relationship with us. Sign up to receive information, updates, and your free video training at www.bu.network/pro.
We're looking forward to hearing from you, and thank you for being with us. Ciao.
Ciao, baby.